Chapter 14. I would ask you, if I know in the balcony, if you don't have a Bible, I see Paul Payton there. If you don't have a Bible, try to grab one. If someone around you doesn't have one, try to share it with them. And I would ask that you would try to pay attention. The devil doesn't want you to listen to God's word. And we do believe in a heaven and hell. We believe that there's a God and a devil. And the devil doesn't want you to pay attention to Christ offering you salvation. He would rather you forget it or get distracted and not listen. And that way you just say, oh, that's not that important. So it is very important. And there's a lot of different ideas out there. Sometimes people make going to heaven very complicated. And in life, you know, some things are very complicated. I read about a tourist that was traveling in an old southern town. And he stopped by an old timer that was sitting on his porch there. He was sitting in his rocking chair. And he was sitting outside his house. And the tourist asked the old timer what this string was hanging outside his house. He just had a string on his porch just hanging there. The old timer looked at him and said, that there is my weather gauge. He said, what do you mean that's your weather gauge? He says, how can you possibly tell what is happening with the weather with that piece of string? The old timer said, well, it's simple. When it swings back and forth, it's windy. And when it's wet, it's raining. That's my weather gauge. Now, some people, I'm not saying it's that simple as far as getting to heaven, but some people like to make things super complicated. And Christ, in the Gospel of John, gives a clear presentation, a clear, distinct way of how we can know we're on our way to heaven. His way is contrary to most religions, though. You know, there are a few major categories regarding how to get to heaven in the world. A lot of people believe, or a lot of religions teach, that hard work and wisdom will lead to the ultimate fulfillment. Whether that's, unity in here with yourself or unity with God, that's kind of Hinduism and Buddhism and the Baha'i. They believe in that. There's some that believe that freedom or independence, that's Scientology. Others like Unitarianism and even Wicca, they teach that the afterlife is whatever you want it to be. And salvation is a non-issue. And then there's others that believe that the afterlife doesn't even exist. That you basically just are put into the ground. Well, contrary to that, only Christianity teaches that Christ is the way to get to heaven. And according to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, the Bible tells us that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So as we start out this morning, I understand that there's a lot of different ideas out in the world. Some of you, you may have come in and maybe someone invited you, and you're not necessarily a Baptist. You came to church because someone invited you. Maybe you wanted to be friendly, or maybe you just wanted something, some fellowship, and so you walked in. You say, well, I don't really believe this way, but I would ask you, as we consider the scriptures, would you ask God to touch your heart? Ask God, is this correct? Because God can touch your heart. I read about a man that fell into a ditch. And he fell into a pit, and he couldn't get out of the pit. And so there was a religious zealot that came by and told the man that only bad people fall into the pit, so you really deserve it. There was a mathematician that came by, and he calculated how he fell into the pit. There was a news reporter that came by, and he wanted the exclusive story about the pit. There was a self-consumed, a self-pitying person that came by and said, you haven't seen anything until you've seen my pit, actually. There was an IRS agent that came by and he said, hey, are you paying tax on that pit? There was a wealth and prosperity preacher that came by and he was talking to the guy in the pit and said, you know what? If you would have given more, I'm telling you, if you would have given more, you would have never been in that pit. Joel Osteen came by with his plastic smile and he told the man to think it was Friday. And if you believe it's Friday and you look in your inner self, the pit will disappear. A Mormon came by and told the man to ask his four wives to come and help him out of the pit. There was a Catholic man that came by and told the man, you can work your way out of the pit. There was a Presbyterian that came by and he told the man that he was predestined to be in the pit. But then you'll see in our text, Jesus came by and he showed him there was a way out of the pit. In John chapter 14, look at our text. John chapter 14, we're going to read a few verses here. John chapter 14, starting in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. He's talking to you and I. Look at verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now look at verse 4, and this is where we start understanding our context. And whither I go, ye know. And look what he says. Jesus is telling his disciples, and the way, ye know. Now one of the disciples, this is Thomas. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. Look what he asked him. And how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him. And most of us know this passage. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's pray together, and as I pray, you ask God to calm your heart. You ask God to speak to your heart also. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the many guests that came in. Thank you for the sunshine that you gave us today and the beautiful weather and safety as we came in. Now, as we gather together for a few moments, we would ask that you would calm our hearts, calm our spirits. Lord, we would ask that the devil would be hindered. You'd keep him away. And Lord, you would do what I can't, and that is to speak to hearts. Convict us, deal with us, show us the way to heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's interesting here in John chapter 14. You know, I've studied the Bible a lot. I have studied it for many, many years. And as I was studying this passage here in John chapter 14, I came across something that I didn't really know historically. All right, and I looked it up, studied it a little more, and it was just interesting looking at this passage. Here in John chapter 14, you see that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You can go to the Old Testament, and there was a few times that God was talking to his people, the children of Israel, and he told them that he would show them the way. Okay, you'll see in the Old Testament, you can read in the book of Psalms, you can see in the books of Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the book of Exodus, that God was telling his people that there was a way, and I would show them a way to the promised land. I would show them a way of escape. So that idea of the way was very known to the children of Israel. Then Jesus here said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it was known after Jesus said that, and then Jesus died, remember, on the cross, and then he rose again. During the time of the Acts, during the times of the Acts of the Apostles, the book of Acts, the term the way became known as those people that were following Jesus Christ. In fact, Saul, who later would be turned to Paul, all right, remember Saul in the Bible, in the book of Acts, Saul was a person that was a Jew. He was raised a Jew, and then he worked for the Roman Empire, and he was commissioned to go around and find the people that were following Jesus and kill them. And in Acts chapter 9, this is what Paul says. It says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way. Now, I didn't understand it all, but then I went down and it says later on, in the book of Acts, this term, the way, is used to describe those people that followed Jesus Christ. So right after Jesus died and he rose again and he went off into heaven and he left with his apostles and his disciples a commission to go out and preach the word of God and to spread his word all across the world, those people that followed Jesus were called people of the way. And this morning, that is going to be my challenge to you. My challenge to you is, are you someone of the way? Are you someone, have you found Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. Remember at the beginning we talked about other religions, and they say, hey, maybe good works, maybe enlightenment. You know, you got to find it within yourself. Jesus said, no, no, no. The only way to get to the Father, the only way to get to Jesus Christ, or get to heaven, is through Jesus, because he is the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So we're going to look at just two simple points this morning. The first is the wrong way, or the ruinous way. And then we're going to talk about the right way. See how easy it is? We have the wrong way, and we have the right way. So let's look at the wrong way. The wrong way, and we're going to take each of the descriptions that Jesus said. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So what is the wrong way? Well, we're going to go to the book of Proverbs. If you don't know where the book of Proverbs is, it's in the Old Testament, kind of in the middle of the Bible. All right, the book of Psalms is exactly the middle of the Bible, but you go just a little past the book of Psalms and you come to a book called Proverbs. And in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, we read a couple of verses that help us understand a couple of things about the wrong way. Proverbs chapter 4, and look at verse 11. Says here, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Then it says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Go down to verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. So a couple of things with the wrong way. We're going to look at the three ideas. Jesus said, he is the way. But if you choose the wrong way, the first thing you will notice is it is a path of disorder. It is a path of chaos. It is a wicked path, according to Proverbs chapter 14. The Bible says there's a way of wisdom, there's a way of life, and there's a way that is good. But when you choose the path of sin, it's a path of disorder. In verse 18, it says it's a path of darkness. The way of the wicked is as darkness. In chapter 1 of Proverbs, in verse 27, it says, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. It's talking about choosing the wrong way, and all of these things are going to come upon you when you choose the wrong way. When you choose sin as your path, it's going to cause chaos in your life. Some of you, you've experienced this over the past couple of years. Some of you maybe over the past 6 months. But it's been chaos. It's been disorder. You have chosen the path of sin. It's a path of disobedience. It's a path of drugs and of drinking. It's a path of defilement. It's a path of disregard to listening to God who says, hey, I am the way. But you have chosen the way of disorder. And all you have to do is look in our society today and you see the evidence of those choosing the wrong path. You see it everywhere because it is just chaos. It's disorder. Things, why would you take? And I'm not here to get into all the kinds of politics, but think about those of you that have had children, those parents, those moms that have had children. Think about a society that would take a young little child and kill that baby. What kind of disorder is there? What kind of chaos is there? Think about our society that protects a little fox or an owl or a little beetle and says it's okay for you to kill your baby. Is that disorder? Yes, it is. It's chaos. And you may not agree with all of it, but this is the difference between you and I, because I believe that everybody is created by God. Everybody is special. And the world says, no, they're not. They're just a piece of trash. And that is the devil. The devil doesn't think you're important. The devil doesn't like you. He wants you to choose that wrong path, the path of disorder. And it's defilement, it's disregard. You may say, why am I going down this wrong path? Well, I think by spending some time looking at this wrong path, this way of the evil one, the path of sin and destruction, you will see clearly the right path then. And the wrong path is the popular path. The wrong path, the Bible says that it's broad, and many there be that go in thereat. So we see, first of all, it's a path of disorder. And that is opposite of Jesus Christ, who says, I am the way. Right? The right way. The second thing we see about the wrong path is it's a path of darkness. You saw that in one of the verses we read in Proverbs chapter 4. It says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. It is opposite then of the right way. Jesus Christ says, hey, I am the way. You can follow me. I am the way to heaven. But if you choose the wrong way, it's disorder, but also it's darkness. Now some of you, maybe you've experienced this. You know, have you ever gone through your house in complete darkness, and you kind of think of it as a skill after a while. That, you know what, I don't need any lights. I know where everything is. And if you have children, that is a bad concept right there. Because they will leave something out and you say, no, I don't need any lights. And it just so happens that they leave who knows what. It could be the Tonka truck, or it could be the spikes, or who knows what that they leave right in the middle of your pathway, because you know that way. But the path of darkness is always that way, isn't it? The path of darkness, you get hurt, you stumble around, and some of you've been stumbling around and you've been hurt, and the reason is because the wrong path, the path of sin, is dark. And it's lonely. You're off there. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And in this passage, he says, I am the way and I am the truth. And opposite of the truth is lies, isn't it? It's falsehood. It's darkness. And so what has the world done? The world has come in and they know they don't want you to be in God's word. Because Jesus makes it simple. He makes it clear. He makes it understood that I am the way to heaven. No man comes to the Father but by me. He makes it clear and simple. But the world, no, they don't like that, so they come in. And maybe they put in some mysticism. And you'll see that priest or father or whatever. And man, he's got the cone head on. He's got all kinds of, you go to different religions, man, they get some get-ups, don't they? You know, we were thinking, I remember last year, John Hall was trying to come up with a name for me, and I said, well, you could just call me His Eminence. All right? And I could get this big draperies and come walking out. And actually, most of the popes, I think they have been dead for many years. You guys think that too, don't you? Any of you ever see them? They kind of prop them out there. All right, and they come up there, and somebody like a ventriloquist is in the back, and you never see really their mouth move, and they're just sitting there, and like, like, what did they say? Like, I don't know, but didn't it sound so beautiful? Well, I don't know. I don't think so. But in the world religions, false religions, what are they trying to do? They create some mysticism. And you're like, ooh, wow. Wow, they must really have something there. No. No, Jesus said, the Bible way, it's clear. And it's simple. Jesus said, I am the way. And false religion, falsehood comes in and says, no, you can add works to it. No, you got to add this to it. All right, isn't it Scientology? Now, I was thinking of maybe mixing some Scientology into our church sometime. Do you know what Scientology says? If you give enough money, you're going to get to heaven. Now, I'm thinking, you know what? That's not too bad. You know what I mean? You guys just give enough. Hey, you're going to heaven. Give me more. Give me more, more. And so here are all these, if you read about Scientology, what you'll find is all kinds of Hollywood actors have joined up into Scientology. And if you go down to, Clearwater, Florida, Scientology almost owns all of it. Almost the whole town of Clearwater. I mean, they own millions and millions and millions of dollars of real estate. So I'm like, yeah. And I mean, but as you think about it, I'm like, what kind of idiot is there like, oh, you, if I write a $5 million check, like, yep, you're going to heaven. I'm like, oh, no way. I'm like, man, that is so false. But yet people are like, oh, how much?
Well, I believe for you, I've been in prayer $10 million. Well, okay.
Like, man, what kind of con game is that? I mean, none of you would go for that, and you say you're an idiot. But yet that's the falsehood that's out there today, isn't it? The falsehood in religions that says, hey, if you give this, if you do so many works, if you do this or that and this, and they add all this stuff and they add mysticism to it so that you can't really know. It's in a fog. What does the devil want? He wants you in a fog. He wants you in a fog. He doesn't want the right way clear to you. And so what does he do? There's a path of disorder. It's a path of darkness. I read about a man as far as this shows the silliness of our way. All right, the emptiness of following our way. Because there was a fellow, a guy that decided to rob a convenience store. And so the robber had a very good plan. I mean, this is an unbelievable plan. What he did is he had a $10 bill, and what he thought is, in order to get the cashier to open up the register, he would say, hey, can you give me some change? So, and then while the drawer was open, he just grabbed all the cash. Well, it seems like a good idea, so he came there. Was going to rob the store, said, hey, do you got any change? Had a $10 bill, and then he grabbed all the change. Well, afterwards, he's counted it up, and all that was in the register was $4.34. So he went to rob the convenience store, and he went into the hole $5.66. Now, that is a pretty stupid criminal, isn't it? Pretty dumb. But as I read that story, I thought of the path of darkness and falsehood. You know why? Because that's always what happens when you follow the devil's path. He makes you look like a fool. I mean, can you imagine that idiot? Now, first of all, he's an idiot for trying to rob a convenience store instead of going and getting a job. The second thing is that he's back there and he's like, yeah, this was a brilliant plan. I'll give him $10. And then he's counting it afterwards. And he has $4.34 when he had $10. But that's exactly what the devil does to you. He says, hey, follow this plan. Follow this way to get to heaven. And at the end, you're empty. You're in darkness. You're left more lost. And that's the way the devil always is. Remember way back in the Garden of Eden, the devil came to Adam and Eve and said, hey, you can be enlightened if you take of this forbidden fruit. That's what the devil was saying. Hey, you'll be enlightened. And so it was the falsehood of enlightenment way back at the beginning of time. And what happened to Adam and Eve? Did they get ahead? No, they were cast out of the Garden of Eden. That's what the devil does to you. Remember Samson. Samson fell in love. And there's some religions that teach this. There's some religions that say basically sensual pleasure is okay. And it's all about self. And that was the ploy to Samson. And the devil came to Samson and said, hey, they're just trying to keep this sensual pleasure away from you. And so then he went for it. He went and he fulfilled that. And it was a falsehood. Why? Because we see later on Samson down in a pit and he's grinding and they plucked his eyes out. They burned him out. Now you ask Samson, say, was that pathway fulfilling? Oh, he'd say, no way. I can't even see anymore. I don't know where I'm at. He had to have a little boy lead him up to the pillars. A man that could take and destroy thousands of Philistines. Had the strength with God's power upon him. And now a little boy has to lead him up. But that's exactly what happens when you follow the devil's path. The devil's path is a path of disorder. It's a path of darkness. But then, look at Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the, there's our word again, the ways of death. Remember our text in John chapter 14. Jesus said unto them, I am the way. And opposite of that is disorder. I am the truth. And opposite of that is darkness. And Jesus said, I am the life. And opposite of that is death. Oh, there's a wrong pathway. And the wrong pathway leads you down a path of disorder. It leads you down a path of darkness. It leads you down eventually to death. And that death is not something good. It's separation from God for eternity. That's the wrong path. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 that it's a wide road. It's broad. Lots of people go in that way. You may say, well, man, everybody's doing it. Oh, no, don't go for that. It's a wrong path. So let's go to our text again in John chapter 14, and let's close it down here. We looked at the wrong way, but what is the right way? John chapter 14, the right way is declared unto us in John 14, because Thomas comes to Jesus and says, how can we know the way? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He does not say, notice this in the text, Jesus does not say, I can show you the way. As I was studying this passage, it was clearer again to me that Jesus doesn't say, I can show you the way. You know what? I can do that. I can show you a way. But Jesus doesn't say that. He says, I am the way. That is different. Jesus not only can show you, he is the way to heaven. And would it not be cruel? You'd say, well, you're all talking about heaven, thinking that you know the only way. But wouldn't it be cruel of me if I saw a dying person? And I knew you had a rare disease, And so I get a group of doctors together and I bring you to those doctors and they find out exactly what is wrong with you. And I say, wow, there is a way that you can be healed. There is a way of hope. And we bring you in to those doctors and then we never talk to you again. What would you say? I say, man, that's mean, that's cruel. Well, in the same way, I don't come to you as some arrogant person saying, I am the way. No, I am pointing you to the person that is the way, and that's Jesus Christ, because I was just like you. I was choosing my own way. I was choosing the way of darkness. I was choosing the way of disorder. I was choosing the way of death. And then some way, Jesus Christ had to come and show me that he was the way. And I found eternal life. And so now, that's what I offer to you. Eternal life. Jesus Christ being the way. Notice what Jesus says here. In verse 10, he says, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Jesus said, I am the way to the Father. I am the way to the Father. Notice what else he says. Look at verse 7. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. Notice he uses that term knowing. Knowing. Speaking of the truth. And Jesus Christ is saying, not only am I of the way to the Father, but the truth of the Father is through Christ. The way to the Father is through Christ. The truth of the Father is through Christ. And in this passage, he also says the life from the Father is through Christ. Wouldn't you choose him then? Wouldn't you choose Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. There is no other way according to the Bible here. Jesus Christ says, no man, and that's you and I, no man cometh to the Father. And that's what I want to do. I want to get into heaven. When it's talking about the Father and going to the Father, it's talking about an entrance into heaven. An entrance sitting with the Father in heaven. How can I do that? Jesus Christ says, you can't do it. Jesus Christ, at some point, and I don't understand it all, because it's in theology, and in theology, some things we can explain, but we don't understand it all. But at some point, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit had a plan. And the plan was that Jesus would come and die for your sins, because you and I couldn't take care of it. And he died at an old rugged cross, and there, Jesus hanging on that cross, pierced, nailed to that tree, spit upon, mocked. There, Jesus Christ hung there. And all of your sin and all of my sin was placed upon Jesus. Now, I don't understand how Jesus could take all that sin, but I trust God's word. I do. And I know it's true. Todd Wright got up here and he gave that salvation testimony, because the same thing that he experienced, I experienced. I came to Jesus Christ and I had that weight of sin upon me. And I knelt there at that old rugged cross and I said, Jesus, I know you are the way. There's no way I can get to heaven. But Jesus said, wait, trust in me. I am the way. And I trusted in Jesus Christ, and those sins fell off. And Jesus took care of them. Jesus is the way to heaven, because he took care of the problem of sin. He took care of the punishment of sin. He took care of the payment of sin. And that means that he can offer me salvation, a way to heaven. You know, Jesus in this passage is the way to happiness. Everybody, that's kind of a popular theme. You know, I've seen books, How to Be Happy. You know, all kinds of different things saying, hey, you can be happy too. And yet, in this world, there's very few that are truly happy. There's not many that really understand true happiness in Jesus Christ in the next chapter. Actually, in this chapter, in chapter 14, he says, look at verse 27. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. What is Jesus telling you and I? He's telling us that I can give you a way to heaven. I can take your sins away. And all these people that are choosing or finding a way, and they say, this is the way to happiness, they're lying to you. Because that way leads to darkness, destruction, leads to death. And Jesus calls out and says, I am the way. There's a song, I remember growing up singing it in Sunday school. Remember the song, One Way God Said to Get to Heaven? Jesus is the only way. Then we'd sing the chorus, no other way, no other way, no other way to go. One way God said to get to heaven, Jesus is the only way. We offer you Jesus this morning, the only way to heaven. Sir Walter Scott, in his diary, he was planning all kinds of things. And the last words found in Sir Walter Scott's diary were these three words, tomorrow we shall. And it stopped. He never finished it. There was never a tomorrow for Sir Walter Scott. He wrote it in his diary and said, tomorrow we shall. But his life was taken away. Why? Because you and I don't know our appointment with death. But you can take care of your eternity now. Spurgeon tells a story of an Indian. And this Indian was in his boat on one of the great rivers in America. He was in his canoe. He was going down this river, but the Indian had fallen asleep. And unbeknownst to him, as he was sound asleep, he was heading towards a great waterfall. People on the sides of the river noticed that this Indian was laying down and he was asleep. And so on the banks of the river, they would stand up and they were waving and they were shouting and he could not hear because he was asleep. Over and over, the crowds were yelling and they were screaming. And eventually they woke the Indian up. And he woke up with a start. He grabbed his oar and he started to paddle, but it was too late. And he went over the falls and died. What happened? He woke up too late. This morning, we offer you Christ, the way of salvation. Why would you wait? We're heading to this precipice. We're heading over the falls. And we're here saying, no, 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 there's another way. Will you choose Jesus Christ? Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. This morning, and I appreciate your attention. I appreciate you listening. And whether you're in the balcony, I know sometimes in the balcony it's hard. But I appreciate the attentive that you were attentive in the balcony. You were listening. Some of you would say, you know, I understand this now. We try to be clear, and I'm telling you, there is so much more about salvation over the next few weeks when we're talking about salvation. But this morning, we were trying to show you that the world has a wrong pathway. All these religions, it's a wrong way, and Jesus clarifies it. He made it so simple. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We tried to present it simply, but this morning, you may know that you have a vacancy. There's an emptiness there. You know that you've chosen the wrong way, the wrong path. God's convicted you. Well, we're going to have an invitation time, and at that invitation, we can have somebody show you the way to heaven through Christ. We won't try to trick you. We won't try to con you. We'll try to take as much time as possible so that it can be clear, because we don't want you to just get tricked into something. No, we want you to understand the true way to heaven. If you'd say this morning, God convicted me. I understand now that I've been on the wrong path. There has never been a time where I trusted in Jesus Christ. I've been trusting in Jesus maybe plus some things, but I've never trusted in Jesus Christ wholly and only to get to heaven. It was made clear to me this morning. God convicted me. Before we pray, I'm just going to ask you to have courage enough to raise your hand. I'm not going to have you stand or anything like that, but just to raise your hand so I can pray for you. Is there anybody like that this morning? Thank you. Anybody else? Yes. Anybody else? Yep. Yes. All right. Anybody else in the balcony? All right. Put your hands down.